Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. So today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I am bringing you another incredible guest. So welcome, Christy, to the podcast.
Thanks, Renee. Thank you. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you. I was just saying off air that I'm also selfishly excited about this podcast because the area in which Christy is an expert in is an area that I actually would love some support in myself. So I cannot wait for us to dive into all the juiciness that we're going to talk about today. But for the listeners who don't know you, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Yes, cool. So yeah, I'm Christy. In the past, I was a classroom teacher. I left classroom teaching to go on family leave and have my own babies. But also I was really at the point where I wanted to move away from the classroom because the impact that I was having in the classroom wasn't matching my expectations. So the kids that I was teaching in my classes, there was always, you know, that bottom group of kids, the four or five kids in every year level that I taught. And they just couldn't read. They were struggling with reading. And with my limited training at the time and with my lack of understanding of reading struggles and dyslexia, I just didn't have the skill set or the knowledge to be able to make the impact that I wanted to make for those kids. So I ended up leaving the classroom and I had my children, and I also at the same time studied and I did a postgrad in special ed, specializing in learning difficulties. I also did my MSL, which is multisensory structured language training, and I also did Orton-Gillingham training. So it was a big sort of awakening, if you like, in terms of, okay, so what we're doing in the classroom is actually really failing a lot of our kids. And it's not the approach that is evidence-based. And there is a better way that will teach 100% of kids. And that's the area that I specialize in.
Oh, I love this so much. And I think we need more people like you in our world, you know, as mums who have children that don't always fit the mold of school. It is such a struggle. And sometimes you feel really helpless, like there is no support available. You don't know what to do. The teacher's not got the time or resources or knowledge to be able to help. And so it can be such a struggle. So I love that you've kind of almost naturally evolved into the role that you are now in.
Yeah, that's true. And when I had finished my study, I opened up a private practice. And so then I started taking on clients, students, and then one by one and sort of building up my caseload while I had my two small children at home. And then I had my mum sort of looking after them on Fridays, and I would sort of do my teaching on those days. And then that sort of evolved over the time, and I've now got staff working with me as well. And the one-on-one support is amazing, and it's really, you know, something that I've specialized in the last 10 years. But now I've come to the point where I realize that it's not going to be suitable for every single family, and affordability is also an issue with one-to-one therapy. And so I have now since created a parent empowerment course for parents to use with their children to help them be confident with reading from home. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about empowering parents to make that impact from home, regardless of what's going on in the school system, because sometimes that's something that we can't control. But what we can control is what we do with our kids at home.
Oh, Yes, I love this so much. And we as parents can make a pretty big impact with our kids outside of that classroom. So I guess for the parents like myself listening along, and we're like, okay, we can already identify that our child is struggling in the reading area. Where is a good place for us to start?
Yeah, so, well, the first thing that we need to look at really is the foundations of what they know already. So the first step is figuring out what they know, what they don't know, so that we know what to teach them. So what we do is we go in and we assess, okay, so really basic sort of stuff. What letter to sound do they know out of the single consonants and the vowels? Usually what's happening is that maybe they don't have the sound to symbol for some of those consonants. And usually they're mixing up the vowel sounds as well. So EI mixes are really common, sometimes AU. And so when kids are... So there's a little bit of a, there's two pathways here. What's being taught in the school is to read via whole words, so memorization. And that doesn't work for a lot of our kids, and that's why they struggle with literacy. So what we need to do is change the way that we're teaching them to read and teach them sound to symbol. But if they don't have accurate sound to symbol, then they're not going to be able to go that way either. So the first thing we need to do is go in and remediate their foundations, figure out what they know, and then go in and specifically and explicitly and directly teach them the information that they need to know to be able to decode words. So it's really figuring out what letter to sound they know and what phonological and phonemic awareness they have as well. So that's just a big fancy name for sound awareness. So basically our words are made up of sounds. And to be a successful reader and speller, we need to be able to break words down into sounds to spell. And that's the fundamental skill that we use for spelling. So for example, if we have the word cat, and we need to be able to break it down into k, at, and then we need to have that k sound and represent it with a symbol, which is the letter C, and then have a and represent it with the letter A, and have t and represent it with T. So that is a fundamental skill that needs to be intact for them to actually phonetically spell. And then on the other side of it, when we're looking at decoding, we need to be able to see a symbol or a letter and then know what sound it makes, because that's how we read. We see the letters C, we see the letter A, we see the letter T, and then we go k, at, cat. So that what that the underpinning of that is phonemic awareness. So if you do a little bit of a search online and have a look at phonemic awareness, and you can actually figure out, okay, where is my child in terms of their skill level there? And I can pretty much guarantee if they're struggling, there's a weakness in that area. So not all kids will naturally pick up or acquire the skills to have phonemic awareness. So they need to be explicitly taught to some of those kids, which is often overlooked and not even recognized in our school system as something that needs to be really solid as a part of our foundational understanding to be able to read and spell.
And that's the thing, isn't it? You know, this is a foundation level that if that isn't strong, then school, unfortunately, is probably going to continue being a challenge through all the years above. And so if we as parents can tackle this as early as I assume as possible, that will make such a tremendous difference in the years to come as well for them.
That's right. Because I mean, when we are, it's like when we're building a house, like we can't build on sand because the foundations won't hold up what we need to put on top. So when we're teaching kids, if we're trying to help a struggling reader, say in the school setting, and we're just trying to help them understand the current curriculum that is happening at the moment, what we're doing is actually trying to layer information onto a base that is not there and is not able to be built upon. So as a remediation, what we need to do is really go back and identify what foundations are shaky and how do we go in and help them with that so that they can start to build on top, and then so they can start to have access to the curriculum that's being taught in the classroom.
Yeah, I think it's always mind-blowing that unfortunately our school systems aren't always the right fit for all of our children. And I know my personal experience has definitely been that I have two children who are very polar opposites to each other. One absolutely excels in the school system and one who just finds it a little challenging and, you know, needs some extra support. And I think as a parent, it can be really hard. You know, I don't have a teaching background. I'm not an educator in any form with children. It can be hard to know where to start, you know, because you think, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to teach these things. I have no idea how to do these things. So, you know, to have someone like you who has resources available to help us is huge.
Yeah. And that's really the whole idea of the course that I've created in Step Into Literacy, is that I want to just be able to pass this on to a parent, and the parent can watch the videos step by step and then take that information and give it to their child, because it's not that complex, but it is a system that needs to be taught in order. So once you've got that order and you've got the skills and you know how to teach something, it's not that hard. So, you know, I've retrained teachers. So my staff are, reading recovery is a non-evidence-based practice for helping kids that are struggling at school. And we've got an amazing teacher that works with All Kids Can, and she used to do reading recovery. She now is retrained, and we have worked, you know, really hard to get evidence-based practice so that we can actually make an impact for our kids, to make a difference rather than them just continuing to struggle. My point was, is that I can train teachers, you can train parents, like it's the same thing. We're all starting from the same point. Mm. We're all starting from the same point, you know, because often teachers won't have this information either.
And I think, you know, that just empowers us to be able to, you know, really help our children, because yeah. As parents, we just want the best for our kids, you know, we just want the best. And sometimes if we feel like we're not equipped with what we need to know, then it can be a difficult process to go through yourself as well. And, you know, I know for me, with my son, you know, I've tried to help as best as I possibly can, but again, I don't have the skill set to be able to go really deep. And, you know, it's knowing those little steps that we can take that can make a really big difference, and tangible little things that we can do to really help.
Yeah. So on Instagram, on our account, which is All Kids Can Education, I've put the first three lessons up that I would teach a child. And so it's basically the first three lessons that we've got in Step Into Literacy as well. So anyone that's listening that wants to go in and isn't sure where to start, you can go in and have a look. It's actually pinned at the top of my profile at the moment, and it's just a live lesson. And I've had parents go through those three consecutive live lessons, and the impact and the change just in three lessons is incredible. Like, it's just something that you just watch and you repeat it to your child, and then, you know, it's amazing and it's empowering for parents. And so, you know, that's the whole point.
And for the child too, I imagine, is building those skills, it builds confidence in them. And I honestly feel like, and again, I'm not an educator or teacher, but from a parent perspective, I feel like lack of confidence plays a huge role and part in when a child is struggling and has some, you know, learning challenges as well.
Of course, because And we're talking about the anxiety as well, because of the fact that they're not understanding, because they're not being taught effectively. So, you know, of course they're going to have a lack of confidence, because the thing is that they're actually, the kids in the schools that are struggling with literacy are actually the perfect students. Do you know why? Because they're actually going into the classroom every single day and they're doing what their teachers are asking them to do. They're doing this other, the whole language or the balanced literacy approach of looking at the word and looking at the first letter, making a guess, looking at the picture on the reader and seeing whether they can figure it out, reading on and maybe coming back. And all of these are the approaches that they're being taught to read. and they're failing. It's failing kids, obviously, but the kids are doing it. Like, they're doing everything that they're being asked to do, but they're not successful. And that's where the lack of confidence and that lack of self-worth comes from, because they're like, oh, well, I must be dumb because I'm doing everything that I'm being told to do and it's just not working. So that's where that lack of confidence comes from. And that's where we start to see anxiety, and kids will either externalize or they'll internalize their struggles. So we start to see behavioral issues in the classroom or coming home. We start to see, you know, them maybe playing up, and we start to see internalizing. So we've got anxiety, depression, you know, all of those sorts of things, because these struggles have to come out. And the struggles aren't their fault. Like, they're doing everything they've been asked to do. So it's about giving them the proper information that they need to be able to read.
And isn't it amazing that, you know, being able to introduce some changes, teach them in a way that they can understand and learn, the flow on impact that that can create for a child is huge.
You know, the whole trajectory. Yeah.
Yes. And I love that you are offering, you know, those lessons to the audience and the community, you know, here on the podcast, but obviously your own as well, because it's that starting point. And, you know, it means that obviously there's something for us tangible to go and watch and put into practice and actually see some pretty incredible results. And, you know, I think that'll just give you an insight into how incredible the program would be if this is just what three lessons is like as well.
100%, Renee. Yeah.
Probably a lot of mums out there listening, like myself, are like, okay, I need to get straight on this because I, you know, I want to make an impact now. But I guess at what age is a good place to start? Because for some of us, you know, it might not be until our child's in school and learning the things that they're meant to and finding that there might be a struggle there that we can, you know, see and recognize. But is there a really great starting point for people where it's like, at this age, it's a really good time to start introducing some of these things?
So one of the parents that is in Step Into Literacy, we have weekly catch-ups and we sort of see how they're going, and they have an opportunity to ask questions about their children and all of that. And so this particular parent has four children that she's working Step Into Literacy with, and the fourth child is 12. And she said, like, should I do Step Into Literacy? Should I go back into the foundations and teach him about the letter sounds and teach him about the vowels and the syllables? Or should I just really focus on the younger kids? And she said to me that her 12-year-old is actually refusing to read, has trouble going to school, has huge anxiety, and, you know, there's a lot going on. And he has only learnt through memorizing whole words, which is why he's fallen in a heap later on once he's gotten to the high school years. And so I said, well, it's never ever too late to go in and to give kids the foundations that they need to be able to read, even adults. So a lot of the adults that I've been speaking to, particularly one from Step Into Literacy, said to me, you're going to make me a better speller, Christy. Like, this is making so much sense to me, because there's no age that this is not appropriate for. So in terms of your question, of course, early intervention is the best. If you can get in and recognize that your child is struggling with reading, you've got a very small window there before you will start to see those external or internal behaviors starting to come out, and like, I'm dumb, or I don't like school, or school refusal, or anything like that. So you want to ideally get in before that, but that's not always possible. So if you've got a child that is having school refusal, or a child that is, you know, believing that their self-worth is connected to their ability to read, we go in at that stage. We go into at the stage that we early, you know, the earliest possible point of time that we can.
I think it's interesting too, because, you know, having a child that doesn't like school, and, you know, I've heard him say things that, you know, really break my heart. And to know that, you know, I think as a parent that it's not your fault. And yeah. I think that's a real key thing too, because I know for other mums listening who are in a similar boat to me, they probably feel like, where am I going wrong here? Like, you know,
of course.
And yeah, well, it can be really challenging.
We trust the education system to do this job for us. And that's the promise that we're pretty much given once we send kids off to school. What's the first thing that you think of when we send kids off to school? What are they going to learn? To read, of course, to make friends and all of that kind of thing. But one of the most important things is that they're going to teach them to read, right? And so a lot of the time, parents will also be told, oh, it's okay, like we're giving them support, or they'll catch up, or let's just wait and see. All of that kind of stuff is really what parents are hearing from teachers. And of course, we trust the teachers. They know what they're doing, right? They've got the information, but unfortunately, sometimes they don't have the best advice. So it's not parents' fault at all. And coming in and identifying, okay, my child is struggling. If you're listening to this now, now is the time to make a move and to not let that progress any further.
Yeah. And obviously I'll have all of Christy's links to her Instagram, so you can go and check out her free lessons and obviously the incredible program in the show notes. You can easily go and click on that and go and find out more and, you know, connect with Christy and go from there. But yeah, it's definitely a minefield for parents like myself who are not educators. So I'm really grateful that there's someone like you out there that, you know, can help people like me who feel a little lost with trying to navigate all of this on their own, which that's sometimes how it can feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it can be a lot, you know, especially for us mums, you know, we're juggling so much. And I think that's sometimes it comes down to a time thing too, where it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm not equipped with the skills I need for this. And I also lack time. And I think that's something that can be really difficult. And I'm sure you yourself as a mum, you know, you've got your own business challenges that arise in juggling it all. It's not always easy.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's not always easy. And sometimes the hardest things that start to build, or sometimes sometimes things that we know need to be done but appear really hard are the things that we kind of push away as well, because it's like, oh, I don't even know where to go, so I'm just going to put that to the side for the moment, which is why Step Into Literacy for Parents was something that I wanted them to just press play on a lesson and watch. Press play on a lesson and watch, because that's a really easy starting point. And it takes away the barrier of, oh my God, this is huge and way too, I don't know. This is not my area, because it actually is really, really simple once we go in and just press play and listen. You know, and sometimes making that leap can sometimes be the hardest thing, right? As a parent, because we're so busy. There's so many things to think about, so many things to on our to-do list. And then those harder things do get pushed aside. So we want to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think taking something that does feel like a big job down and breaking it down into manageable little steps is key. And I think you're exactly right. You know, taking that leap of faith is the probably scariest and hardest part. Once you've done that, then it's, you know, one step at a time, and, you know, every step that you take is progress towards achieving the goal that you're wanting to achieve.
Yeah. And I think also keeping in mind that, you know, I'm a lot about strength-based parenting and figuring out, okay, so what is my child really good at, and how can we help them excel in that area as well, rather than just only focusing on the things that are really hard for them. Of course, we need to teach them how to read, and there's a way to do that, we know, but we also have to keep in mind that we're really dealing with their mental health here as well. And what can we do to support them in other areas? How can we speak to the teacher at school, and how can we get them support at school? You know, is there some accommodations that we can put into place to help them access the curriculum? What sort of things can we do at home? Are they really interested in, like, one of my sons is really into trampolining, and he does wall running and like all this kind of stuff at Bounce. And like that, just being enrolled and finding something that he really enjoys has made a huge impact on his psyche and how he sees life. So it's really important to make sure that we're managing their mental health as well, with all the things that we can do in terms of getting them support and helping them reach their goals in other areas of their lives.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes such a big difference. You know, like I know for me, with both of my kids, really, you know, if you can really acknowledge all their strengths and the things that they're doing incredibly well and they're really good at, you just see them light up in their face. And, you know, that is what we want to harness more of in their world, especially if they're finding certain things a challenge, because we don't want to focus all in on that and nothing else. So I think that's a really good point you've made as well, that, you know, for anyone that has a child that is struggling in an area, how can we really focus in on the things that they really love and enjoy, and, you know, that can help build their confidence as well in those areas too.
Yeah, and connecting with the school and connecting with the teacher, you know, even just something as simple as organizing a meeting with the teacher and saying, hey, we don't want such and such to be reading out loud in class because it's not appropriate for them, because that's something that some struggling readers are asked to do, and it causes a huge amount of anxiety. And adults, you know, that are struggling with literacy remember this from their childhood. So it's just something, you know, just getting in and getting the support of your teacher and helping them understand that they're also struggling, and what can we do to make the classroom a more accessible place for them, so that we are really managing their mental health, but they're also their want to go to school as well. How can we support them when they're there?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, my experience with the teachers that my children have had over the years, I mean, my daughter's grade 4 and my son's grade 1. So we've had a few teachers over the years, and they're always so obliging to anything that they can do to help support the children in the classroom. So I think knowing that, you know, you've got teachers that you can approach and talk to, and I'm sure they'll come at it with all the understanding in the world and do their very best with the time and resources they have available to them to, you know,
Absolutely.
to help in any way they can as well.
Teachers are amazing. There's just so much that teachers have to do. And that's exactly the reason why I left the classroom, because it's a burnout situation. They've got so much going on, but they are always going to be receptive. Well, not, I mean, there's always going to be some bad apples out there, right? But they're always going to be able to form. You can always produce, you can, oh, what's the word? Creating a positive relationship with your child's teacher is always something that you should attempt, of course, and usually that will, you know, work in your child's favor. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess, you know, for you being a mum, a business owner yourself, I would love to know how you have landed in this place of being where you are and how you're able to juggle it all, because, you know, it's not always easy being a mum to kids and running a business. We know that that can come with its own challenges. So I'd love to know how you find the juggle.
So it's one of the reasons, I think another one of the reasons why I left the classroom was because I wanted to create a life for myself that was pretty much by design. So what I mean by that is I didn't want to be at school from, you know, 8 o'clock or 8:30 till 4 or 5 on some of those meeting nights. And then how was I supposed to manage my own children? And I just sort of, I wanted to create my own hours, which is why I created my own business. And I'm sure that that probably is a really common reason why people do go out on their own and do create their own businesses, because they need that to work for their family. So having said that, yeah, I'm really busy, particularly through launch of Step Into Literacy. It's been intense. It's been a lot of work and a lot of energy that has gone into it. And my husband has been amazing, and he's been doing all the washing. And I can't say it's not to my standard, or all the cleanliness, but you know, things are moving along okay. Like I've got really big goals in what I want to produce, and I've got the support of my family. And I talk to my kids about, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do in terms of, if I jump on, say, a podcast to talk to you, or if I do a webinar with, you know, a certain amount of parents, you know, these are all sort of I'm pretty new in the space, like this, to get out into social media and all of that kind of thing has been the last 12 months. And it's grown really, really quickly. And I feel like I've grown with it. And when we meet these experiences that make us nervous, that make us feel uncomfortable, we meet our edge. And this is what I talk to my boys about. And I say, you know, when you go to, say, high school or when whatever situation it might be, you might feel really nervous and these things might come up and your first reaction might be to run and just not do it. But I try to explain to them the situations that I'm going to and when I meet my edge. And when I meet my edge, they know that that's when we grow. So really helping my children understand what I'm doing and the growth that I'm getting out of it and the people that I'm impacting and being able to help and connect with, they get all that because I talk to them about all of that. And then they also support me with it as well because they fully understand it. So it's a team effort, really.
Yeah.
I
can fully resonate with that because I'm much the same with my children as well. I think even though I predominantly run my business when they are at school, so they don't often see this now, but I think it's really helpful for them to understand what it is that we do and why. And I think knowing the why really does help. Like I'll never forget when I left my, I used to work in a hospital setting as well as have the business and the kids. And I remember when I left that and I said to the kids, you know, I can drop you off at school and pick you up every single day because of my business. And that for them, so on their level, they could understand some of what I do. They are so excited about my business because they know that it means mum gets to pick us up every single day from school. And for a lot of them, you know, they don't have, their friends don't have that, you know, they're going on buses and different things. And so, you know, it's just nice for kids to have an understanding of what it is we do and why we do it. And again, it helps with that element of support as well. And hubby with the washing, I wholeheartedly get this. Yesterday, my husband decided to start chainsawing down a tree while I was going to podcast. And I was like, this is just not ideal. So, you know, they help where they can, but then sometimes there might be a little miss.
Yeah, I think, and the thing is also because my own children, one of them has quite severe anxiety and and ADHD, and my other child, he has ASD. So they've got their own challenges as well. So you can use it as a tool to really help them also come out of their shell, you know. So it works. Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Because we're all human, right? And we're all going through the same thing. And when we share those experiences with our children, it can help them be braver and move forward too.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we are role models to our children, whether we verbalize that with them or not, they are watching our every move. And honestly, there's things that my kids pick up on. I just think, how do you know this? I've never spoken about this, but they pick up on things we just honestly never would imagine. So it's always interesting. You know, our kids are very amazing little beings. And, you know, we play a really big role in their lives. So it's nice to be able to share things with them as well.
Yeah, little sponges.
Yes, very much so. Or mirrors. A lot of the time too. Yeah,
definitely.
Yes, definitely mirrors at times, which sometimes it shines a light on our shadow selves that we don't always want to see, but it's all learning and growing and evolving just as much our children as it is for us as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, I have absolutely loved chatting with you today and all that you have shared with us. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to pop all of your links in the show notes so we can go ahead and check out all of the resources that you have provided us with. But where can our listeners best connect with you and find you?
Instagram's my place. So All Kids Can Education.
Lovely. So I will pop...
Come and follow.
Yeah, I'll pop the link in the show notes and go over and jump in our DMs and say hi. Let us know that you've listened to the episode and share what your biggest takeaway has been because it's always really nice to hear from those who've tuned into the podcast and, you know, what the biggest takeaway is for them because we all get our own little juicy nuggets out of what's shared. So it's always nice to hear that from people.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well,
thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Renee.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to reneeoneal.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at renee.oneal, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.